Welcome back to Musings of a Book Collector. This is the second episode in our Chulin series, where we explore topics and svarim related to the Masechta. So in the previous episode, we were discussing the Tosfos, the first Tosfos, the first few words in the Masechta in Tosfos, where he says, HaKol Shoichtin Kasaf Belchus Eretz Yisrael, and the question was, what is he referring to? What is this Kasaf Belchus Eretz Yisrael? And we offered a few different solutions. We discussed about the famous Sefer Eldad Hadani. And so today we will continue a little bit about that topic as time allows. And that is like this. Part of our agenda over here is to discuss the earliest works of Hilchos Shechita, Hilchos Shreifos also. So basically, we left off as follows. There was a suggestion that this Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is referring to the Sefer Eldad Hadani, and so much so that Yaakov Reifman made a suggestion back in the late 1850s in the Sefer Kol Mavasser that it was supposed to say there was an abbreviation, and it said Aleph Yud Kasav Be Aleph Yud, about women doing Shechita. And someone at one point in time, one of the printers, opened up the Rosh HaTevis incorrectly and put in the words Eretz Yisrael. Now, why is it Aleph Yud? Because it in the Hilchus of Eldad Hadani, everything begins with Amar Yeshua. So it was really referring to in the Halacha section of Eldad Hadani, it says this thing about women not being about women and Shechita. Okay. That was a suggestion, and I said others also make the similar suggestion. Now, so I like to backtrack a drop as follows. So, first of all, the question was, who was the first person who said this? I have no idea, but in a letter he writes that he was told about Gretz, so that he really said it before Gretz. Most likely he did say it before Gretz. I actually did track down where Gretz talks about it, and the volume of Gretz came out long after his work, Kol Mavasser. Okay. But anyway, it doesn't make a difference. As we're going to see in the course of the next conversations, it's not true. Besides the reason I mentioned last week, there's going to be some other reasons that we brought up. But beforehand, so this Yaakov Reifman, who is he? And what's this discussion? What is he? And we'll discuss some aspects besides who he was, a little bit about his article on Eldad Hadani, which is besides for what he has, the suggestion about this Rosh HaTevis business, he has an article about this. Okay, and here's the story. I asked, I believe last week I mentioned, who does everyone believe the story, this fascinating story of Eldad Hadani? So it sounds like from the Nusach, the standard Nusach of the story, which we were going with, which we'll hear more about today, hopefully, where they asked the Rav Tzemach Goyen, we got this chash of a guest, and he's telling in a strange language, very close to Hebrew, he's telling us all different things about Sambatia and Asaras HaShvatim, and he's also telling us Hilchos Shechita and Treifos, all different interesting things. So what's the story with it? And Rav Tzemach, we discussed some a little bit with Rav Tzemach answered. So it's interesting is that it seemed clear that the Rishonim took this work seriously. And as any searching of Eldad Hadani, you'll get two different quotes in Rishonim about it, the Smag, I came across, Akafta Beferchar, Zeruah, the Rajba, the Itor, and others. Now, I'm not saying that they always agree with him. Oh, that's a different discussion. But the point is, he's quoted, taken as a authentic document. Okay. Of course, there's always going to be that someone out there who's not going to go like with that Mahalach, and that in many cases is going to be the Ibn Ezra. So it's Ibn Ezra in Shemais, which says, he's talking about Maisha and Tzipira, Ha'isha HaKushis HaShomar. Then he says like this, Vashakas HaBedivrei HaYamin de Maisha Al Tamin. There's such a chibur called Divrei HaYamin de Maisha, not for now. Don't believe it. Klal Oymer Lach, Kol Sefer, Shalai Kasvu Nevim, Don't believe it. So here we see that Ibn Ezra is saying, can't rely on the Sefer. Fine. But he doesn't elaborate. Okay, say that. Now, Yaakov Reifman, one of the Sfarim that he was very fond of was Ibn Ezra. And at one point, he was very prolific, and he wrote numerous ha'aris on the Ibn Ezra all over in the newspapers at the time. And at one point, many of these ha'aris were collected back in 1962 by Naftali ben Menachem, and it was published as a volume called Iyunim b'Mishnas Ibn Ezra. Great. Now, in Parsha Shemais, he says like this, Yaakov Reifman says, here you see the great godless of the Ibn Ezra. He wasn't scared to say what he thought. He thought, even though there are others that Taka believe it, and he brings you some other sources about that they do go for it, he held this is not an emistic achibor, and he spoke his mind. So he's like, sort of like, I like you, Ibn Ezra. Now, and we're going to see in the sugya of Eldar Adani, even more so. Now, but let's backtrack a little bit even more. Who is this Yaakov Reifman? So Yaakov Reifman, he's born in 1818 and he dies in 1894. Now, I'm not attempting to give his biography today, but just in short was, he was one of these people, grew up. He actually even wrote a partial autobiography, which is published in this volume from Naftali ben Menachem, Yunim b'Mishnas Ibn Ezra. But basically, he grew up very poor. His parents were Meiser Nefesh Mamash for him to learn properly, and he learns for a long time, till let's say the age of 15, the way he describes it, the old-time pilpul. And then eventually he gets married, and where he gets married, the person he does a shidduch with, that person had a nice library with such works such as the Mar Nevuchim and others, and he ends up learning these svarim, and he's blown away. And more so is what's interesting is that he becomes very educated. He's clearly a person who sits and learns big time. And okay, he sits and learns. Now, but what he ends up doing is it's what's called, I think I used this term a bunch of times, it's an academic term, Republic of Letters. And what happens is he's in correspondence with many different people of note, let's say, Ichve Yisrael of Gerondi, Av Bezin in Italy, the Marzchayas, and many others, discussing with them all different types of things, in all different aspects of learning, a massive correspondence over years. A lot of these letters actually survive, some are printed. And he goes ahead, and he goes and starts publishing small little works, all parts of plans of Svarim that he plans on publishing, much greater works. But he's dirt poor, and he pretty much never ever publishes a complete massive work on whatever topic he is. It's always usually a perek or a few prakim and a part of a greater work. Always trying to raise funds. He's not successful. He writes in literally every single newspaper journal at the time. And it's crazy when one sees just a partial bibliography of the amount of svarim he wrote. And basically he lives a very sad life because he's not able to raise the funds. He's in contact with Gedolei Olam also. Recently, Ahavat Shalom published letters of his with Alderis, and fascinating letters back and forth. He gave Alderis his farm, and Alderis comments on them, and all types of things. Lots of interesting things happening in his work. Sadly, after he dies, some of his Talmidim, they want to get together to, so to speak, try to at least publish some of the works. At the end of the day, that also doesn't work out. But anyway, he was one of those very special, talented people. He knew a ton. And it's interesting, in his autobiography, that he describes himself, he likes to be original. Okay, very good. Now, obviously there's a lot more to say about him, but we're just trying to give it a little taste. So now, in the Carmel from Finn that came out in Vilna in the 1870s, so he has in five different issues a chapter of what must have been a work of his or some big article on the Sugya of Eldar Adani. And he raises a lot of different issues, and it's impressive from 1870, based on the information he had. He didn't have so many manuscripts about it. He asks a lot of different questions, and he says, Lamashal, one interesting idea that others bring also, the Marinayim, Rabbi Zariah Yemin Adoyim, he also believes the story to be true. He's in general more pessimistic, so to speak. And for example, he says his name is not Eldad Adani, that's what it's called. The question is, did Eldad was it written? He says no. L'chayru, according to the story, he told them stuff. It wasn't written, so he's medayik like that. Okay, there's all these type of discussions, technical aspects, which ends up being the literature as time moves on about the what I would call it, the Eldad Adani literature. Also discusses a lot of the things that he raised, and a lot of them are not aware of this article of his in the sugya of Eldad Adani. Okay, so this is at least a 5-part article. Published in the 1870s, as I said. So he divides up that the story of Eldad Adani, there's 3 parts. There's the story, so to speak, what happens where he tells them about Asar Sashvatim and the Sambatian and all this type of stuff. Then they write the question to Ratzemach Kohen about, could we rely on him because he told us all the Hilchas Treifa, Yisan Shkitas, and then there's basically the Tshuva of Ratzemach Kohen. That's how he sets up the sugya. So it's sort of like 3 different parts, 3 different things going on. Okay. Now, basically, his analysis, he comes to all different types of interesting observations about the Sefer. And in one of the prakim, he says, pretty much, this is a ziyuf. It's a forgery. The Ratzemach Kohen is a forgery. And, okay. Now, he moves on and... one of the discussions he brings up is, oh, the Hilchos Shechita and Treifas. So it's there's a parallels to like many different things, 19 different things between this and Masechtos Chulin. So what's what? Who got from where? Okay, he talks about it. He has a whole analysis of the different things. And he is very much convinced that Avada, he basically claims the whole work is a forgery. He took stuff from the Gemara, he took stuff from the Ga'inim and different places. He changed around the Lashon, and he added this whole thing of this Yeshua Benun business, and he basically fooled many different people. But there was no real story behind it. And, okay. Now, one of the things that he brings up in this whole conversation is that eventually there were things that were said over from this chibur that are not even in the original work. Okay, and this is where the problem begins. Up till now, what we're saying is that when it says in that Tosfos brings down, that it says in Hilchos Eretz Yisrael that Nashim cannot should not do shechita, lo yishchitu b'nei shedaitin kalois. Where is it coming from? Eldad Adani. And Taka, it says a mefurish like this in the Mordechai. So he says, but what do you mean? I just opened up my Eldad Adani. It doesn't have this whole story, this whole piece. It's not there. What's going on over here? So already, what he's trying to bring out is there's some, you know, Rishonim had things from him, and basically maybe that the story got even bigger, you know, as time goes on, more stuff are attached to the story. Now, the problem is like this, he's raising a good thing, you know, if we have many different things of Treifos and Hilchos Shechita that in the standard source of Eldad Adani exists, and it does 18-19 at least, and it doesn't have this one that we're making, or even that's the excuse for this whole conversation. So what's going on over here? Anyway, he's very much convinced, based on all different information, that this is not a real or a reliable work. He also handles about the tour, that the tour also seems to have used it. And so basically what it's coming out is pretty much is that everyone was fooled. And it's not a legitimate work at all. Fine. That is a summary, so to speak, of what is in these articles in the Carmel in the early 1870s. Fine. Now, so he is raising an interesting point, And that is, and I think I might have mentioned already last time, is that assuming that this, even Reichman, who came up with this chap, that it's a printing mistake, kind of really means, when it says Eretz Yisrael, it really means El Radani. But what's going on? It doesn't say that in our, in the standard El Radani. So, turns out that that is not true. There is, as I said, there was a Yid, Avram Epstein, last time I mentioned. So he was obsessed with the sugya of El Radani, so to speak, and he publishes a Gansa Arichos of the El Radani story I mentioned, and I said that he has tracks down many different, 10, 12, 13 different editions of the story from all different rare printings and manuscripts, and he has on the Halacha parts, and he's Dirish called Tag Shebetag of this Chibur from the manuscripts, and the Ataka, in one of the manuscripts, he does have that the Elder Hadani says in the name of Yeshua this piece of women with doing Shechita. Okay, now it might be a little cryptic piece, but it does say about, it's not the same Nusach that our Taisvis brings down, the Mardechai says a Mamish B'Shem the Elder Hadani, that they shouldn't do Shechita for whatever reason, but it is, there is a clear Makar in the Hilchus of El Radani about women and Shechita. Okay. But the problem is, there's only one. What's going on over here? If Taisvis, or even not, worst case scenario, forget about Taisvis over here for a minute. At least the Mardechai, who does say it in the name of El Radani, so what's shot? So the question is not necessarily the greatest question, because a lot of times, just like they found different manuscripts of the Chibur, there were other manuscripts, and the Taka was in certain manuscripts. The Mardechai definitely had it, and not everything, even though Lamashal this, Avram Epstein did this incredible work, tracking down manuscripts, early printings, and everything, there were more. They arrived from the Mordechai. Okay. Because even the Nusach that he does have from this one Ksavyat is not the same as the Mordechai. It's in Ksavyat Parma. Okay, fine. So now we are. Now let's go into discussing briefly this Avram Epstein and his work on El Radani. So Avram Epstein, who is he? So basically, he's born in the 1840s, and he also wrote a short autobiographical account of his life. And interestingly enough, he was his parents, it seemed, were wealthy, as opposed to Yaakov Reifman. And he got a very good education, and he learned Tanakh, Diktuk, Lashon HaKodesh, and his Rebbe was Yisrael Goldenberg from Bristol, Litta. He also learned languages such as Russian, Polish, and he learned Talmud Bavli, Be'iyun, and he had a different Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel Halperin, who was a Talmud of Valozhin from Rabbi Yitzchak Valozhin. So yeah, he eventually learns German, French, and he learned a lot. He said, I learned a lot. Amongst the Svarim that he says that was very special by him was the Kuzari and the Ramban al HaTorah. But he also read Mechkar. Eventually he gets married. It's clear from all his writings, he's very wealthy. He's successful in business. He ends up traveling Europe. He meets Shir Lamashal, the famous Shir Rappaport. Strikes up a relationship with him. And even though he's running his business, he's very much kaveya itim to learning and writing. And eventually he starts publishing, and he publishes a wealth of material. Eventually, some of the stuff is published as a volume, one by Mekitzin Adamim, etc., etc. So Meister of Cook, in their special, one of their early series that they had, I think it's called Chaim Michal series it was originally, so they published over his various volumes, and in the volume, the first volume is the volume mostly on El Radani. Okay, now, what is his take on the story of El Radani? And it's interesting is he believes the story. That's his evidence after going through all the material very carefully. And here's a man who's very educated, very learned, and he learns the text of everything. He analyzes this Chibur Mamash, Velt of beautiful Haaris, and he says he agrees. We don't know the exact aspects, where he came from, and there are many questions that are not answered about his let's say his origin story, where El Radani, and if every aspect of the story is true. He is not claiming that is so, But he believes the core story and the halachas are true. They were coming from somewhere. His language, he says, is very hard to understand, but it he does not buy into. He's aware of the Reifen with the forgery. He does not buy into that. He says that he does not feel that he took from the Talmud and made up, and basically is a forger and he's using the Talmud to come up with the stuff. No, it's clear from his analysis that it's someone that understood animals, because you have to know Treifus very well in the various halacha section of his. And he mamish has a Velt of Aris Kedai. If you're interested in this topic, reading up in this Chibur Elder Adani, what his conclusion is. And he says also, and Lomaisa, it was accepted. Now, he does have different theories of where he came from and everything like that. That's beyond. But he does not feel it's a forgery. And he also, like, for what purpose would it be to forge also? That's always a question. Why does any of the forgeries that we have that turn out to actually, yes, be forgeries, why, what was their agenda behind it? Do we even know? Some of the times we don't really know. Okay, but bottom line is, his analysis is, it's authentic. It's authentic, and fine. Now, he does show that there were stories of Elder Adani out there that were forged. I mean, say, once the story became famous and different things, people did make up stuff to it, okay. But the bottom line that comes out from going through him, who's someone who Mamish went through, to use the words called Tag Shabbat Tag, in this, comparing it, and he's holding in the Sugyas, he's holding in Chulim very well, and Be'iyun, and comparing all the halachas, his conclusion was that it's authentic. Okay. Now, Lamaisa, there were other, there was shortly after him, someone else also did an intense work on Elder Hadani, which we're not going to go into now, what that fellow's opinion was. But the bottom line is that today I'm just trying to show that there were two approaches, at least two approaches. In the 1870s, there was the approach of Reifen, who's really, I'm claiming, is going, he's taking the, Reifen's taking the Ibn Ezra out of Saif. He's basically analyzing the material that he had, but he did not have all the material that Avram Epstein had in front of him, including the manuscripts. So some of the questions that he raises, Avram Epstein deals with, but the truth is, many of the questions that I didn't throw out there, and points, and parallels and stuff like that, that Reifen deals with, Avram Epstein does have good responses. Okay, so this is just two approaches amongst these two. They were both from Chaikrim at that period of time, but they were definitely had very much ties with the greater Wissenschaft people out there, very educated people. And that is all for today. Amir Tzashem, in the next episode, I hope to discuss Lamaiso, what is the real source for this thesis, a much more legitimate source for this thesis, some other theories about this story of thesis, the Mordechai, and everything, and to get closer to also mention some other important early works / early discoveries of Chiburim on Hilcha Shechita, Treifus, that were discovered in the past 100 years, and how it relates to our story, that Mir Tzashem will be in the next episode. I appreciate any feedback, any types, criticism, or any of the like. I was more than happy to share with me. You can reach out to me at eliezerbrun@gmail.com.